Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the Go Birds podcast.
Welcome in to the Players Lounge. Welcome back to Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is the Chickies and Pete's Players Lounge. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. There we go. Wake up in here. All right, they. I understand you had to take a little bit of a break there in between the Brandon Graham show to the Players Lounge. I know everybody had to run to the bathroom. Brandon's basically taking the whole crowd over there with him, pictures and autographs. Yep, I get it. Enjoyed my Lotta's in here. He's in the house. Feel like we got a one-man band in the house tonight with Jordan Mailata here, so I can't wait to get him on. We'll get him up coming in the second segment. But as customary, as we do here on the Players Lounge every week, Elliot Shore Parks is joining me to my right as my co-host. What's up, ESP?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I will say they're probably tired because that game ended at like midnight. Probably, you know, that probably didn't help.
Game, yeah. Yes.
That first quarter took about an hour and a half, you know, hit the over in the first quarter. But yeah, no, I mean, it was an exciting win for sure. And they needed it. They really did. I mean, I thought the last two games before that, you know, weren't as good performances. So yeah, a lot to get into from the game for sure.
Okay, so you and I on Tuesdays, we usually go back and forth at it over something that involves this team. And it's crazy because sometimes we initially come in thinking that we agree with each other, and then I think it's just natural for us to be on opposite sides of any topic. But I will say this. I brought you up earlier today on the show because I thought you had the key to the game yesterday. At the pregame show, you talked about running the football. You said that was the way the Eagles needed to attack this Green Bay Packer defense. Howard led the charge of the passing offense. And as anyone with common sense to know, if you're on the same side of an argument with Howard Eskin, you're usually going to be wrong. But that's why I found myself yesterday agreeing with Howard that I thought throwing the ball is what they should have done. But it wasn't long in that first quarter, but that I thought about you. And I said, Elliot was on to something tonight. It looks like the running game is the game plan tonight against this team. What did you see prior to the game that made you believe this is the way to go?
I actually think you made a lot of good points because I do believe on a larger scale in this league you pass to get the lead. Like your team is as good as your passing game in a lot of ways, right? So I think you were correct about that. But I think when you look at the Packers' run defense and you look at this offensive line, this group of running backs, and this quarterback – it was the right way to attack the team. The Packers are one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. When we talk about bad run defenses here the last few weeks, like, that's a bad run defense.
Right.
That run defense gave up over 350 yards. I thought there was a lack of effort later on. You could tell that they really kind of made the Packers quit on that side of the ball. But I also think it's a credit to Sirianni and Shane Steichen because, you know, you are right, and I think Nick would agree, you do pass to get the lead in this league, right? But one thing Nick has shown time and time again, really since last year, is he will coach to what he believes the correct game plan is that week, and he does not put pride in the way. He doesn't worry about what he believes is an offensive philosophy. If he feels the best way to attack a team is to run the ball 49 times, then he'll run the ball 49 times, and that's exactly what they did last night. So when you have that offensive line that can dominate that way, I thought it was the right way to attack them, to attack the team, and I was happy they did it because, you know, they put up 40 points, which is certainly much needed with some, you know, coming off of 17 the week before.
Now, to your point, when we talk about dominant and what the Eagles were able to do yesterday, 29 first downs to 19.
Yeah.
Right? 21 of those first downs came via the run. Here's another stat that I love, third down efficiency, and if you want to add in fourth down efficiency to it. But on third down, they were 8 of 15, over 50%. Even my Michigan State
there
education
go, yeah.
tells me that.
Nicely done.
You add in a 2 for 3 on fourth down. Now you're looking at 10 of 18 on third and fourth down yesterday. So even when Green Bay may have had some success on first and second down, the Eagles were able to sustain drives by converting.
And it's kind of the exact opposite of what we saw against Washington, right? Now, the Eagles.
That's why I brought it
up. Yeah, the Eagles ran the ball better last night than Washington did 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whatever that was. But the Eagles did a really good job last night of putting themselves in manageable third down situations. And that really is the key to offense in the NFL, right? Like, Nick talks a lot about big plays, and clearly that's key. You want to get big plays down the field. But the way you sustain drives, and the reason they'd been struggling, I thought, was because they were getting behind the sticks too much. Penalties early on in drives, first and 15. I mean, against the Colts, they had a second and 25. You saw last night they did a much better job not getting behind the sticks. And when you're running the way they did last night, and you can consistently get 4 or 5 yards on each rushing attack, you're going to have a lot of third and shorts. And then you can sneak the way Jalen does. I know they missed one last night in the first for what feels like forever.
For the first time, it seems like.
Yeah, but they showed they can win running. And, you know, last year we talked so much about they're only winning running. And then early on this year, the passing game was so explosive. AJ came in and made an instant impact. Devontae, Jalen, all those things. They haven't really won a game this year, or needed to, running the ball. And I think, and Nick Sirianni said this last night, I thought it was a great point. Come playoff time, and he kind of slipped a little when he said that. He caught himself, right?
He did.
But come playoff time, there's going to be games where, you know, it might not play out the way you think, and you're either going to need to run the ball or throw the ball to win that game. And the Eagles now showed they still have it up their sleeve. If they need to just hand the ball off 50 times, trust the offensive line, and win that way, they can still do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't see it as a problem. I know some people were a little concerned that we might be a little bit of run. We were run heavy this week as we were last week late in that game. And we'll dive into whether or not we feel like there are some other issues as it pertains to the passing game as we get through the week. But I thought they had a game plan, they stuck to it, and it was the right game plan. So kudos to them. I can't wait to get Jordan Mailata in here to talk about that side of the football real quick. I want to get your thoughts on the other two phases of the game, what you thought of the defense yesterday, what they looked like, and then just a quick thumbnail on I just don't know what they're going to do special teams-wise.
I know.
As far as correcting some of this stuff.
Yeah, and I'd love to pick your brain on that as, you know, obviously a former great special teams player. But on the defensive side of the ball, it's probably the best 33-point performance I've ever seen from a defense. Like, if you would have told me that they gave up 33 points and we'd be talking positively about them today, I would have said you were crazy. But I do think the offense put them in some tough situations, and that is something the offense has been doing more and more, let's be honest. Like, turnovers have become a problem for them. So they were in short fields. The special teams also put them in short fields. But they forced the 2 turnovers, which are absolutely huge. I felt like in the second half they played way better. The Christian Watson touchdown was really just a mistake by one player in an unfortunate spot. But the Packers weren't able to sustain drives against them in the second half, which they were in the first half. I thought the defensive line was really good rushing Aaron Rodgers. Fletcher Cox was really good. Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham. I mean, really everyone got in it. Josh Sweat. That was good to see. I do think a concerning thing moving forward is A.J. Dillon was a really tough matchup for that defense.
I thought they had
trouble tackling him. And, you know, we talked about the Packers kind of giving up. One thing I'll give with the Eagles is they don't give up on plays. Like, they might miss tackles, but there's always 4 or 5 bodies around the runner trying to bring him down. The concerning thing would be if A.J. Dillon gave him problems, Derrick Henry is a whole different, you know, issue in terms of his size and his how tough he is to tackle. So, clearly 33 points is not what you want to give up. But I didn't see any new, large, big-picture problems emerge last night. It felt more circumstantial than it did poor defensive play.
Yeah, if I'm thinking about last night's game, I'm thinking about 2 plays that I didn't like. Maybe there's another one in there somewhere, but obviously the A.J. Dillon runs on that first drive when they scored the touchdown. I thought that was like a hot night through butter.
Yeah.
And then poor angles trying to tackle Christian Watson on that play. It's
Reed
one thing,
Blankenship.
Yes, it's one thing to give up a reception. That can't turn into a 60-yard touchdown or whatever it turned into.
And there was a lot of talk about the matchup there of Marcus Epps versus him. I didn't have as big of an issue with that as other people did. I mean, Christian Watson's a second-round rookie. Marcus Epps has had a good year. Is it the ideal matchup? No, you probably want Slayer Bradbury. But that's not a matchup where you go, all right, this is a major red flag. Like, we got to do something. I thought the issue was Blankenship. I do think another poor play by the defense was, I think they gave up a touchdown on like second and 20 in the red zone. So
was that the Randall Cobb play?
I think that was the Aaron Jones. It was either Aaron Jones or Randall Cobb,
okay.
But it was in the one-on-one matchup in the end zone. So look,
you're talking about when Aaron Rodgers escaped the pocket and rolled out to the
100%,
right.
100%.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was a bad play, but I did think they shut it down in the second half. I mean, you know, they really only gave up one legit scoring drive, I think, in the second half. So that was good. But the special teams put them in really bad spots. And, you know, when you're up big and you have Jordan Love come in, it's not as big of a deal. But if this team's playing in the conference championship game or the Super Bowl, which I think they will be, and you're giving Mahomes 50-yard fields to drive down consistently, that's a major problem.
All right. I wanted to get your thoughts. Like what I've heard tonight, I know no surprise after a big win. Eagles sitting at 10-1. Sure, you're happy about that. Team's looking good. Defense played better than a lot of people really give them credit for yesterday. 1-for-7, the Packers were on third down.
Yeah.
Again, when I think about the big passing play to Christian Watson, that to me can be corrected with proper tackling angles and getting guys to rally to the football.
It's not a red flag. It's a bad play by an undrafted rookie in a big spot.
Yes.
That
wasn't necessarily concerning to me. I agree with you that I thought Aaron Rodgers looked a little comfortable in that first half, being able to get around. But he's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers.
Right. So. I know he's got a broken thumb, but he's still Aaron Rodgers.
Still Aaron Rodgers.
Look, again, to the Eagles' credit, and this is something they've done this year, They're not great early in games, it feels like, but they do shut
things down.
They do
seem to make corrections.
They do, like, for all this talk about Gannon never adjusts, they seem to play way better in the second half consistently than they do in the first half.
And to your point, several big sacks late in that game from guys in that second half. So the defense certainly was able to come up with some big plays. Well, man, I'm excited like everyone else is. Enough of hearing me and you talk, Elliot.
Yeah, let's get the star of the show.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Eagles star left tackle. He's in the building, the gentle giant, as I like to refer to him. Jordan Mailata will join us here in the Players Lounge at Chickies and Pete's when we come back right here on 94 WIP.
On first down, Hurts takes it, and he keeps it, and he smashes the rushing record by taking it across the 30, up to the 32, and right now Jalen Hurts has set a new Eagles rushing record for a quarterback in a single game. He picked up 6 right there. That's 136.
136 yards rushing for QB1 yesterday. Welcome back to Sports Radio 94 WIP. Ike Reese, Elliott Shore Parks. It's the Chickie and Pete's Players Lounge. We're at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Guess what? It is the number one sports bar in North America. Stop on by. Philadelphia sports going on tonight. We got the Sixers playing tonight. They're taking on the Atlanta Hawks. Are the Flyers playing tonight? No, no one wants to really answer that question.
I was going to say, who cares?
We don't say who cares, Elliot. My bad.
Embiid's playing tonight, though.
Yes, Embiid's playing tonight. Yes. I say that because if you want to get with the community to watch as a community and support our Philadelphia sports teams, this is where you do it at. Well, right now, as I get the business out of the way, Jordan, they actually pay me to say those things. We have Eagles left tackle Jordan Mailata in the house, everybody.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, I got to tell you, big man, when I got the word that you were going to be the guest tonight in the Players Lounge, you know, I was pretty excited.
Was that?
Pretty excited. Because, A, watching you grow as a player here, not figuratively or literally, but just watching you grow as a player here has been fascinating for all of us. I still remember when they drafted you in the 7th round, and like, okay, he's a rugby player, but he hasn't played football before here, and we used the draft pick on him.
And everyone wanted him to play running back.
That was the next thing I was going to say. So after watching your highlights, everyone in the city was like, he ought to be the running back in the short yardage.
Same here. I was thinking the same thing. I didn't know what a left tackle was.
So here's the funny thing, man. You are a man of many hidden talents, and I can't wait to get into those things with you as well. But let's start with yesterday's game. I just asked you how you were feeling physically, and what did you say to me?
I said it felt like we did run for 350 plus yards.
So you feel all those yards you guys rushed for in your body?
Oh, yes.
So
we do.
All right, so let me ask you this. What do you enjoy doing more, run blocking, where you get to pound on people and you do what you did yesterday, or, you know, you get to sit back there and protect the quarterback and he throws the ball for, like, 300 yards as well?
Listen, that's a no-brainer for an O-lineman. So definitely love running the ball. Personally, I love running the ball, but whatever to get the job done.
What was it, Elliot? 49 rushing attempts?
I think it was 49, including some of the Hurts scrambles. Yeah, so.
Well, think about this. Even Jalen, with some of his runs, and I noticed some of this, is that there are designed quarterback runs.
Yes.
There's a couple plays there. I'm seeing Isaac and Lane pull on a play. First of all, nobody pulls tackles in this league except one team. That's this team. Because nobody else in the league has athletic tackles enough that you would pull tackles in at the pro level.
Or the center. I mean, like, they have an extremely athletic offensive line.
Yeah, you just don't see it that often.
Yeah. Going into the game, so obviously you set, you know, in my opinion, the real franchise record for rushing yards. Let's be real. That last one happened in like 48. I think this is the real franchise record in my opinion. But going into the game, like, did you see something on tape where you're like, okay, yeah, we can do this? Or is it just kind of as the game went on, you felt, okay, you know, this is working for us?
Yeah, I think it was with, especially with that first drive, those two third downs that Jalen, you know, created those explosive plays, kind of set the tempo and just, you know, I think defeated the morale of the Packers D line. You know, as a defense, you want to get three and out, and then, you know, when you're on third down, the QB scrambles and gets a first down and then some. You know, it's demoralizing, and so I think, you know, off the back of Jalen being Jalen and doing his, you know, QB1 things, it was just crazy, and I think it set the tempo for the rest of the game.
How much does it help the running game to have Jalen be able to do what he does in terms of distracting the defense, helping you guys as blockers? Like, I think when you think about a good running game, you naturally think about the offensive line dominating and the running backs, but Jalen is such a big part of what you guys do. How does he help you guys in that way?
It's just another threat that the defense have to watch, you know, and then have to assign a player to if they do, you know, play spy. But it's just crazy to have a QB1 that's as dynamic and powerful. And the bloke squats, I don't even know how many pounds?
600? I think it's like 600 pounds.
I mean, that's crazy. Like that, to hear a QB squat 600 pounds is ridiculous.
Yeah. Really anybody, but especially a QB. Yeah, really.
Dude, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. And so we're pretty lucky as an offense to have a dynamic QB that we have in Jalen. So. Yeah.
I think the thing that impresses a lot of people, Jordan, about Jalen is at a young age, 24 years old, really, you know, his third year in the league, really the second as the starting quarterback of this team, he's been able to earn the trust and respect of all of his teammates and in the locker room and being that leader. So coming from a guy that's in the huddle with him, that's obviously he's out there relying on you to protect his blind side, what is it for you that sort of, I guess, impresses you about Jalen and his leadership ability and doing the things that he does?
I think his character speaks volumes, and just like his values, the morals that he carries himself as a person, you see it reflect when he gets on the field and then leads us. And he doesn't just say it, he leads by example. And it's just one of the many qualities I admire about the bloke, man. That dude's an amazing person, and then he's a hell of a player too. And you know, when you have a locker room like the one that, you know, the coaches and Howie and Mr. Laurie have created, you can just see that, like, everyone just molded around Jalen because of his personality, the way he carries himself. Dude, man, you think the bloke was like 40 years old. Just the way he's got such an old soul and very mature for his age. And, man, it's just an honor to play with him.
So this is the thing I would want to know, right, as a former player. And I always wonder about this with the quarterback, because the leadership and how you lead, your style, it can be delicate, and it really does have to part of it has to be natural to you, and then part of it has to be doing what's called for. So I say this to say, not that you guys have had many moments this year that you would that he would put this on display, but I wonder, is there we get to see the quiet, calm, sort of reserved, button-up sort of guy. And I'm wondering, is there a side to him where if he needs to get on someone, does he have the ability to do that? And the way that he does it is the way that the teammates respect him for it. Because, I mean, listen, when you're a leader, you can't always be the good cop. Sometimes 100%. You have to be the bad cop.
100%. You know, I'll say the Houston game where I gave up 2 sacks. You know, I sold out on a quick pro and decided to, you know, jump set the guy because, you know, I'm thinking the ball's going to be out. And I didn't take the right angle. I didn't take the right set, shot my hands late, and went to the sideline. And, Jalen came up to me, and he's, I thought he was going to cuss me out. He just said, just give me 1 second.
Yeah.
Shook my hand. And I was like, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll give you 1 more second.
Right.
Too
right.
easy. You know, and that's just, he's very monotone with everything. You know, there's no up and down. He's just the same character, same dude, man. That's why everyone respects him. Because if he does get on you, it's just like a way, he approaches you in such a way where it's respectful and, you know, you want to listen.
Right.
And it's not even that when he's holding others accountable. There are times when he's come over to the bench, he said, that's on me.
Right.
That's on me.
Players will respect that too, yeah.
And players respect that.
Especially old linemen, yeah.
And this is mid-game, you're like, no, that's on me.
He's
like,
right.
That's on me. You know?
Right.
So then there's just like sense of accountability on the sideline mid-game, you know, that you just have to respect. And you want that in your players, not just the QB, but just every single player on the team. So,
What I think so interesting about this team is Jalen is so, like, he's the same all the time, like monotone. Like, he never, you can tell whether he's happy, sad, you won, lost, whatever. And Sirianni, on the other hand, is very much like, you know, I can even tell when he comes to the press conferences. I'm like, all right, Sirianni's upset
he's
about
ready
something
to go.
Today.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Sirianni's tired, right? But I'm curious, how is someone that's a big part of the locker room, how does that kind of even you guys out in terms of having two guys that obviously get along really well and have a great relationship, but from a personality perspective, seem so different?
Man, that's a great question. I think Jalen, I don't know if that was just by chance that we just got those two separate personalities.
Yeah.
Right.
It might have just been by chance, but it's great because it just balances that locker room out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having Jalen being so monotone and then having Sirianni
where
he is, we love that. We want that players coach, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I think they both balance each other out, and it's a cool thing to see.
I got to be honest with you. As a player, I would much prefer the coach that is passionate and emotional and all those things. Those are the only. Now, Andy.
Well, I was going to say, you played for Andy Reid, so
yeah,
I'd be curious.
But you know what? Jim Johnson was passionate and emotional enough for everybody. So, yeah, Andy almost didn't have to do it because Jim was the balance to him. Andy was almost a calm, cool, collected guy. And with the defense, Jim gave us the emotion. But all the other head coaches that I played for in college and everything else, they were the guys like Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
So I say that to say, as Jordan said, players coach, like sometimes players need that. Like players want that coach that it's, we respond better to a coach that's like that.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the, no offense to Tony Dungy, but I just don't know how I would play for Tony Dungy if everything was a, now, guys, I'm going to need you to do this. I'm going to need you to play. I'm like, I don't know if I can have
that. Well, Sirianni seems so excited for you guys when you do well.
Yeah,
right? Like, there was a clip a few weeks ago in a Patriots game where Bill Belichick, someone came and handed him a ball after a big play.
I saw that.
He didn't even react. And I get that that's who he is, but I feel like Sirianni would have, like, basically, you know, chest bumped the guy, signed the ball on the spot. Like.
First of all, don't be giving Bill Belichick a damn game ball in the middle of a game.
I'm just saying, from a player perspective, it'd be a buzzkill. If I'm like, hey, coach, I did this for you. And he's like, get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, no. The size of the cojones on that player, mate.
Exactly.
How can you do that?
I wouldn't even have been able to do that.
I would not have done that.
What is your favorite part about playing for Nick?
I think just his approach that he wanted in the team about creating the culture. I really respected that, like bringing the locker room together. And then not even just the locker room, even the coaches, making sure the coaches are – you can approachable.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that all the coaches are accountable, approachable, and just, you know, creating a positive environment in the building. And so I love playing for Nip because of that. And because the players coach, man, he sees how much we put in.
Yeah.
We see how much they put in. And so when we execute, it's kind of like what Jalen said last night, execution fuels emotion.
Yeah.
And now it's a big stout saying.
That's a big very old man soul coming from him too.
I'm glad you went there because I was coming there. Nick is the uncle, right? And everybody likes Uncle Nick. And then we got to get to your real coach, Stoutland University, Jeff Stoutland University, man. And I love how you introduce yourself on Sunday Night Football. It's classic.
So did you come up with that?
That was a Lane Johnson text.
Okay. Jeff Stoutland University.
Right. Well, you introduced it to the world.
That is so awesome. I love that.
Well, when we came back from training camp, they told us that ESPN was in the office next to Dom's office.
Big Dom's office, yeah.
And then they were like telling you, you got to do player introductions. And I was like, well, this is awkward. I don't have a college to say. I was like, what do I say, Lane? And I'm sitting next to Lane, and Lane's like, why don't you say Jeff Stoutland University? I said, say less. I'll do that,
man. That's perfect.
That is perfect, and it fits him because he's the best in the business.
No doubt.
I love talking to you guys about his impact on you all as players. And so for you individually, just talk a little bit about, you know, Jeff Stoutland with the entire offensive line. You guys have a close-knit group.
Yes.
And I would think it starts with him and the culture he sets in that room.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, Coach Stout, I mean, I can't believe he took a chance on a rugby player from Australia to begin with. You know, what was he smoking that day? I can't believe what he was doing. But, you know, I'm very thankful that he took a chance on me because he changed my life forever. And, you know, we talk about the standard. He's always talking about the standard. He's always talking about execution fuels emotion and playing for each other. Give yourself to your teammates. You know, mm-hmm. No man is an island. You must draw your strength from others.
Yeah.
These are all quotes that emanated from Coach Stout and just his the standard that he set in that room. And so when you hold yourself to a high standard and then you expect that high standard to be reflected in your players, it kind of just naturally molds together. And how he does it is just being detailed. Mm-hmm. You know, coaching everybody the same from starter to P squad. You know, there's no one like besides Jason Kelce, because Jason Kelce is a different beast now. I mean, Kelce could be a coach.
What's interesting is, you know, obviously you come to Stoutland, you've never played before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kelce is probably going to the Hall of Fame, and you guys both still talk about how you learn things from him, right? Like almost every day or every week. What is it about him that makes him such a great teacher? Like, what is it about, like, his personality or how he explains things that's made it so easy for everyone to learn from him?
I think the amount of detail that he goes into because of how much work he puts into knowing what teams do, how to execute the technique against this look, this defensive look. And so when you have a coach who's investing all that time, you know, you listen. Because when you do execute it, it works. You're like, you might know a thing or two, you know.
Yeah.
So then you
that's
go back,
and
it just keeps happening. Like, oh wow, he was right. And so you build that relationship. You just keep trusting in coach. You just do what coach tells you, man, and he's gonna lead you down the path, man.
He's led you down a pretty good path.
Yeah, he has, man. I love Coach Stout, man.
Well, and speaking of relationships, we're gonna take a quick break, and then I want to come back and talk to you about your offensive line mates and how close you guys are. And quite frankly, when you have a unit that is close like you guys are, it really, and it's not just the starters. It's mm-hmm. it's like your backups as well. It makes for a strong room, man. And it's no surprise that the offense has been able to be as good as it's been because it all starts up front. But you got to have guys that play well together. So I want to get Jordan's thoughts on that. Elliott Shore Parks, Jordan Mailata, everyone. We're here at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. I heard it's the number one sports bar in North America, Chickies and Pete's. Pretty damn good. Right here on 94 WIP.
Never do away. I'm back these years. Oh, it is Christmas Day. Please.
Just do this the rest of the segment.
I wasn't going to interrupt him.
It's catchy, man. It's catchy.
Those those vocal cords you hear right there is the great Jordan Mailata, man.
No, that's Jason Kelce.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Because you know we want to talk about that.
Oh, Lordy.
So yeah,
forget the game. You guys won by like.
Forget about the game. Yeah, forget about that
honestly,
game.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. That was great. You guys won the game. Had you lost the game, we would have spent the whole show.
Hey, if we lost the game, they would have been seeing, nah, 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 nah. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye.
So this offensive line, man, you guys as a group are, first of all, you guys are obviously good on the field. That's the number one thing. But secondly, and probably just as important or equally important, the personalities seem to mesh together. You guys genuinely seem to like one another. So what's that like in the meeting room, in that room? I don't want you to go through every player, but I kind of want to know, okay, who's the stickler for the rules in the meeting room? Is there any of those guys? Is anyone that's always punctual and...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Punctual. Everyone's pretty punctual, but Isaac and Kelce.
I knew
Kelce,
you were
going to
say Isaac.
Isaac and Kelce are usually the, you know, cross the T's, dot the
I's. Yeah.
Making sure that, you know, that stout is going over the small details for the young guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, myself and the rest of the other cats in there, making sure that we really understand why we're doing this.
Who's the prankster of the group? Who's the?
Oh, that'd be Lane.
Lane's the prank. Lane. I would not have guessed.
Dude, he's
Lane.
The funniest, dude. Dude, he's the funniest.
What's a great Lane?
Well, Lane and Lane is funny sometimes without even trying to be funny.
Exactly. I mean, Lane does. He's probably got like the best impersonations.
Okay.
Of almost everyone in our organization. So
he does good impersonations of everyone.
He does.
Okay.
Who's his best one? Do you think?
Shoot. Now you put me on the spot. I can't think of one.
Yeah, all of them, I guess.
But
yeah.
Lane, trust me.
Yeah. Somebody has to do Stoutland, right?
Yeah.
We all do Stout. We all do Stout. We're all, like, traumatized. Traumatized. So we all have a traumatizing story, but it's coming from a good place, man.
No doubt.
Stout loves you.
How do you think that's helped you specifically coming to an organization where, again, you know, you're learning the game from scratch, essentially, where they, I would assume, were so welcoming in terms of helping you out and, you know, making sure you felt like this was something you could do and encouraging you on the bad days. Like, how big was that for you?
I mean, it was huge. Coming from no background to having some background to, you know, having whatever background I have now.
I mean,
Stout's just been a huge part of it, but not just Stout. It's been, you know, Coach Chung, Roy Esteban, and even the guys who have played before on this team and the guys currently in this locker room.
Yeah.
They've all helped me get to where I am. And they're still helping me get even better. So I've just been incredibly lucky to be blessed with great humans and great teammates.
What's your favorite part of playing football now that that's what you do for a living? You're not learning the game anymore, right? This is what you do. Like, what's your favorite part of it?
I think just imposing my will, trying to
say smashing somebody. Yeah. I knew that. Yep.
Yeah. especially in the run game, you know, it's just like natural for me to try and be the dominant player that I know I can be. But it's just awesome when all five guys are on the same plane and mm-hmm. we're doing our thing. So,
who are you like closest with? Who do you buddy around with the most?
Landon.
Yeah, right next to you. How's that been with having Landon there and you having to be sort of the guy that mentors him?
Man, I think that's what works out great for the both of us. I don't see our relationship like that.
Right,
I have to mentor him because mm-hmm. I respect where he came from, coming from a great college football system and just his background. He's a smart player now. Mm-hmm. Landon Dickerson may not look like a smart player, but he is. He is a very smart player and he's very talented and skilled. And so, you know, just our relationship on the field and off the field is where our, I guess, relationship flourishes.
Yeah, does he do any of his singing?
I mean, I wouldn't call it singing, but he does sing along with me.
Sings along.
He sings along with you. So, yeah, I like to consider myself a good singer if the music that I'm lip syncing or singing along with is louder than my actual singing.
There you go.
So everyone doesn't have to really hear my voice. Mm. I can just kind of blend in with the singing, like most people do.
I mean, that's normal.
He's basically saying when he's alone in the car, and he can turn it all the way up with the windows up. That's exactly. Where he really lets it rip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you can actually sing.
I'm okay.
Dude, you were on Masked Singer.
Nah, man, that was just a part-time show, man.
What was that like for you? Yeah, what was that like?
Yeah. Like national that audience,
like,
yeah.
One of the biggest shows on TV.
Yeah.
It was fun, man, the whole journey. I got to experience it with my fiance, so it was cool. Just the production team was amazing, and they made the highlight of the show. And I think performing was just for me, it was just another performance. But you know, just being there and then getting to meet all the casting members. And,
right.
Actually, I didn't even know who the casting members were, so it was very secretive.
just
it was very secretive.
Oh, you
so,
didn't
like,
know anybody.
Each character or. I don't like saying the C word, celebrity. I don't like saying
celebrity.
That
you can say it.
I'm not a celebrity.
I'm not a celebrity.
I think you are
a celebrity. Yeah.
We don't say the C word here.
You're not Ike celebrity. Yet, but you know, maybe
I'm
one.
I'm not a celebrity, man.
Yeah.
Just a guy who
you're
sings
just a
plays
singer.
Football.
Yeah.
That's it. Just a guy who plays football and sings.
How did it come to be? I mean, I remember, I think the first time you taking off as a singer in Philly, at least, remember you did, I think it was like Tennessee Whiskey. At the
rookie show.
Yeah. First of all, you made me download that song. I'd never heard it. That's a that's a fire song. Yeah, but hey, it's not my music, to be honest. But it was a great song. But where I was going with it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, you killed it though. You did a great job. So what I was asking is, how did the Masked Singer come to be? Like, did they approached you? I would assume. Like, what was that whole process like?
So, 2021. So I obviously sang it my rookie year.
Right.
But then in 2021, when Sirianni was just hired and he was getting to know the team, during camp, he was like, so, you know, we were going through the rookies singing that year, and then he found out that I could sing, so he just randomly called me up.
Mm.
And I said, oh, I guess I got to go to All Reliable Tennessee Whiskey. So I said, okay, I'll do it, and sang that. Sean Bradley had video recorded it.
Yep.
And TMZ got a hold of that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Recording, and I guess that's how the Masked Singer found it. There's somebody who worked at the Masked Singer who comes from a big Eagles family, and they had just suggested me to join the show, and they reached out to my agency, and they reached out to me, and yeah.
Prior to this year, you were clearly the top singer on the team. Now, I'm not saying that you aren't the top singer on the team.
I know where you're going with this.
But I'm just wondering, has rival arrived? I seen you guys do a duet of one of my favorite songs from Mario, and it sounded pretty dang.
Now that is my song.
That sounded pretty good, man.
It's pretty good, man.
So you guys both did a great job with that, yourself and rookie Jordan Davis. Are you guys thinking about putting together a little group here or a little duo?
We always joke around about it, but yeah, we'll see.
Now that used to be a thing in the early 2000s, late 90s, like male groups. You know, most of them were quartets. They didn't usually have duets as male groups, but
Casey and JoJo,
but there was a whole, you forget about Devontae and Mr. Dalvin. Yeah, they got rid of those two because they couldn't sing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what normally, that'll be landed in the group.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what normally happens when there's a quartet. We got to split money up four ways. It's like, yeah, you two really can't sing. We ain't get rid of y'all. But no, I'm wondering, you and Jordan, man, like that seems like a good little pairing right there.
Yeah, Jordy can carry a note too now.
Did he get on the Christmas song, or was that all O-linemen?
It's a secret.
Okay.
It's a secret.
So the Christmas.
So we might have some guest appearances.
The Christmas songs are coming out. One has already been released. Can you give us anything, or we have to wait for everything to be released?
Sir, I'm not qualified to give you that answer.
Okay.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Yeah, what's your favorite Christmas song?
My favorite Christmas song is of all time would be Oh Holy Night.
Over All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey? Come on,
like
man.
I said. Oh Holy Night.
Oh Holy
That's
Night.
It's a classic,
right.
Man.
It is a classic.
Jingle Bell,
it is a classic
Jingle Bell
for
Rock
sure,
or
yeah.
something, man. Yeah, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle
it's a classic
Bell Rock.
For me.
Yeah.
How'd the Christmas album come to be?
Honestly, I can't remember the actual, like, where it started, but I think it was Kelsey.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did Kelsey orchestrate this thing?
Yeah, pretty much him and Connor Ballen. So. and Lane and I were like, yeah, we'll be there.
Can Kelsey sing? I saw him do the national anthem before a Sixers game, and he was pretty good with that. Like,
the national anthem before a game, I don't know how he did that.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't know how we did it either, but he can sing, man. Yeah.
Do you get nervous when you sing? Like, are you nervous for the album to come out, or I guess?
Nah, man, I'm not nervous, and I do get a little nervous when I have to sing. So.
Yeah, how's it compared to football?
I think it's just a whole different type of skill set and whole different type of nerves.
Yeah,
because you know, I mean, football, it's you get nerves, and then once you get hit, you're like, okay, nerves gone. Mm-hmm. No one's hitting you when you're singing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not.
No,
at least not when
you
sing.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. How do you get the nerves out of your system?
Yeah.
So that's it.
So as I bring it back to football, Jordan, you guys got a big game coming up. As all these games seem to be big games. The Tennessee Titans are coming to town. Physical team. That's what Mike Vrabel wants his teams to be identified as. You preparing yourself for another one of those drag out, knuckle up type of a games going up against Tennessee?
Yeah, that's how we usually attack the week, you know, just really just once the coaches come up with the game plan and we install it, we really just try and play as dominant as we can and as physical. Coach Dow always wants physical football, so that's a standard that you know, he's already set as a prerequisite. You know, when you play for his own line, it has to be physical, dominating, fast football, and understanding your assignment. So, I mean, this is how we prepare. The process is how we've always prepared. Doesn't matter who we're versing, we keep it the same.
That's what I like about this team. You guys seem to be locked in, and you focus on one week at a time, and you stick with that. Listen, man, thank you. It's been a pleasure of ours to have you. Hopefully we have you back. Elliot, we're getting ready to go to break. We're getting ready to get out of here. Got a shout-out to Dan, Taz, and Hipster Dave down here, Tucker Bagley back in the studio. We got Monday Night Football coming up next right here on 94 WIP.
Go Birds! T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.